Welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour, broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in beautiful, sunny Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday morning, and we're very excited about today's broadcast. We'll be playing a tape message from Grace Hour founder, host of the broadcast for many, many years, Pastor Stevens. And today's message entitled, Why God Gives His People Valleys. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with that principle, we go through valleys in our lives. And I think everybody would agree that the Christian experience is not always a mountaintop experience where things are going our way, we're on top of the world, all is well. No, we go through the valleys of life. And God brings us through those valleys and allows those valleys to take place in our lives so that something good can come out of them. Well, that's today's message. We'll be sharing it with you. And we have split the message up into three separate parts, and we'll play each separate part. And then, of course, we will share some comments right here in our studio with Pastor Schaller and myself, and then invite you to join us as well. So it's going to be a great morning. We hope you'll stay with us for the full hour-long broadcast. We'll get things started in just a moment, but we do want to remind you that following the message today, you can join us. We'll open the phone lines, and again, you can participate in the broadcast with your comments, your questions, testimonies, counseling needs, and it's simple. Go to a phone, pick up that phone, and dial one of these numbers. Toll-free in all of North America is 800-338-7060. And the local number here in Baltimore for our local listeners, we invite you to join us and hope many of you will at 410-483-3700. And having you join us in the broadcast is always a special treat, not only for us, but for our listeners who tune in around the globe as well. So take advantage of that opportunity when we present it a little later in today's broadcast. I want to welcome everyone live on gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and all of the various platforms that we, again, share the Grace Hour with you on, Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, and iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher, just to name a few, and looking forward to having many of you join us. Remember, if you can't reach us by phone, you can send us your comments, your questions, and you can share them with us on the chat. Just type them in if you're listening on any of those platforms, gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. Love to hear from you. Many of you are already reaching out to us, and boy, we haven't even started the message yet. So we hope to hear from so many of you on this Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. The message from Pastor Stevens today, again, it's entitled, Why Does God Give His People Valleys to Go Through? And there are good reasons as to why God does that. And you know the answer, friends. He wants to develop our faith. And again, someone has said that if every day was filled with sunshine, all we would have is a desert. It takes a few storms. It takes some tests and trials. God knows the best way to develop our faith. And it isn't always when things go our way, when all is well, when there is no trouble, there is no turbulence, there is no challenge that, again, brings us beyond our capacity into a realm of God's great grace through faith. So, again, these are some of the reasons why, and Pastor Stevens will share in his message today as to why, indeed, God gives his people valleys to go through. The fact of the matter is, we need those valleys. Those valleys, when it's all said and done, will conform us into the image of God's own Son. So without further ado, let's turn our attention to today's message from Pastor Stevens entitled, Why God Does Give His People Valleys to Go Through.
Why does God give His people valleys to go through? Biblically, what happens if God's people do not have specific valleys to go through? What takes place in their lives? There are very definite reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ ordains certain valleys and arranges them and manufactures circumstances preparing the way for these valleys to take place. If we were to consider the life of Abraham from the era of the Chaldeans into Canaan, back to Egypt, we would see his valleys. If we were to follow the life of Jacob, we would see his valleys. If we were to study the life of Elijah, we would see his valleys. In Elisha's life, as beautiful as Elisha was, there were 52 silent years after he did so much. And I've always wondered that there's a record of Elisha's blessings through Jesus Christ. But 52 years after his last blessing, the scriptures does not record a single thing of this prophet. That doesn't mean he wasn't mightily used, but it doesn't say a word, which is unusually strange. Throughout the scriptures, Paul, Peter, and John, consistently, God designed valleys. Now, in an age which perhaps masses are becoming slowly deceived by the Laodicean spirit, and in many cases slowly becoming Laodicean in spiritual temperament, valleys are not appreciated. These valleys will wear people out. You see, when we do not understand tonight's message, Satan wears the saints out in the valleys. Let me say that again. Satan wears the saints out in the valleys. Not on the mountaintop, unless you're a Pentecostal. Well, I mean, if you worship 3 hours and sing, and you do get physically tired. But if I've offended you, I didn't really mean to. Forgive me. Stay around. But in the mountaintop experiences, we do not see individuals withdrawing from a ministry or quitting because you're on the mountaintop. I've never seen anyone come up and say, "There's so many blessings in this church, I can't take it, I've got to leave." In the minds of many, many of God's people, they do not have the substance of faith enough to understand what it takes to make them grow in a larger faith. I mean, if I have a certain measure and capacity for faith, I'll guarantee you my experiential faith needs more than theology. I'm going to have a valley. And once I've appropriated the Word of God and understand it from the standpoint of information, and having knowledge and having information is absolutely imperative to grow. Let me say that carefully. A person that does not have knowledge and does not have information from God and does not have God's understanding of his viewpoint cannot adequately meet the demands of the valley. It has to be more than knowledge. But it must be knowledge. There must be information with inspiration. One is the Word, the other is the Spirit. But every single Christian would never grow beyond your present state on theology alone. If we are to go from faith to faith to faith in Romans 1:17, we will never go from faith to faith to faith unless tribulation worketh what? Patience.
Well, that's the end of the first clip today. And on that note, tribulation producing patience, right from the get-go of today's message, you can see how God, and I love the word that Pastor Stevens used when he was speaking of Peter, Paul, John, consistently, and he used this word, designed valleys. And we know that a designer is a creator, so God creates them, he ordains them, he designs them, and there must be a great sense of purpose in, again, those valleys. And Pastor Schaller, you mentioned that sometimes we could refer to it as like the valley of affliction. The psalmist had a lot to say about affliction. In Psalm 119, verse 67, he said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept your word." And then in verse 71 of Psalm 119, he said, "It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might keep thy statutes." And then in verse 75, he said, "I know, Lord, that you have in your faithfulness afflicted me." I mean, that sounds like God really has designed affliction for our benefit.
Yeah, just step back from the whole, you know, the subject is amazing. And just to think of it, I once was at Hopkins listening to Ravi Zacharias at a session he was holding here in Baltimore. And a doctor was the speaker after Ravi, and I listened to his introductory comments. And he said that a woman had asked him why she was sick, why she had gotten cancer, and so on. And he said, you should ask rather, why are you alive today? Because the factors that, you know, he wasn't demeaning her, and I'm not doing a good job putting it in the context, but you'll get the idea that the fact that I'm standing vertical, that I'm conscious, there are so many factors that have to come into play for the earth to be so far from the sun, for the temperature of the earth, the weight of the earth, the magnetic fields of the earth, the existence of life, the existence of a human being. All of this is like a very narrow spectrum of variables. And if you alter the variable, even in the slightest, you have death, like instantaneous death. All right. So that now comes the issue of valleys, meaning affliction. You know, it's like a metaphor for a low point versus the mountaintop. We sometimes say in our gospel message that Jesus was at the Mount of Transfiguration and he was turned white as snow and shining, and they saw his deity coming through his humanity. And then they walked down the mountain into the valley where he cast out a cast demons out of a man. Okay, so we have the idea of a valley being a low point, a time of struggle, a time of affliction. And then, Pastor Love, you just mentioned the design of the affliction or the design of the trial. Let's be very clear here. There has to be a sovereign authority that has ordained for that. That has happened. There are not accidents, as people think of accidents, as something that happens without God. No, God is sovereign over all. We call that providence, don't we?
Yes.
And so in the valley, we have the providence of God, the unfolding plan of God, and he doesn't give you more than you can handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13, he gives a way of escape. But, I mean, it is a trial. It does press us in our heart, our mind, trying to get a hold of it, our emotions struggling with a devastating tragedy. This is all reality, but let's get the right perspective that valleys are ordained of God. That you might say, well, I am angry with God. Well, we know the story of Job and many of the Psalms that allow us to express these feelings of, you know, we are human beings. He pities us. He knows we're made from the dust. And he pities us as children, and he knows our frame. And yet we are learning to trust him.
We're going to listen to a statement in the next clip that says, "Without valleys, we will have no opportunities to be changed into his image." I mean, that is a powerful statement, because today you might have in some aspects of Christianity, people saying, no, there should be no suffering. There should be no pain. There should be no difficulties in the Christian life. And yet, Pastor Stevens is about to tell us that without those valleys, without some of those things happening in our lives, you're not going to be conformed into the image of God's Son.
Mm. No. We need it. We do. But wait a minute. Let's take a pause here. Pastor Love, let's admit the fact that we like our comfort.
Absolutely.
Our convenience.
Mm-hmm.
What do you talk about that for a second.
Yeah, we're listening to this and we're acknowledging it as the truth, but we're not inviting God to give us any more valleys than we already
please,
go through.
Please.
We're not gluttons for punishment.
No, it's...
It's true. It's kind of like when you go through your fiery trial and you're in the furnace of affliction, it's not always easy. We don't always necessarily, celebrate that and have a smile on our face and a skip in our step. Even Peter writes and he says, you could be in heaviness because of these trials that you're going through. But there's also something about us that, God gives us this understanding that even though it's difficult, we know something good is happening.
Yeah.
Which is why we can count it all joy.
Mm-hmm. Count it all joy. When you fall into divers temptations, I believe the better word for that is trials, various trials. Make a short list. Trials with my family, my children, grandchildren. Trials with my job, my employer. Trials with finances, housing. Trials with my health. Trials in relationships with friends. Trials with maybe some chemical thing happening in my body, some thing I don't understand what is going on. Maybe in old age there are trials. Maybe there's loneliness. Can't we say that all of this thing called life is something we have been brought into this life by God? He wants us to know him and follow him and trust him. And he's saying in the message today that actually there is an enlargement in the valley. There's a kind of growth that happens and us to get to know God in it.
Mm. And I often think of a message years ago Pastor Stevens preached where he reminds us that fruit doesn't grow on top of the mountain. It grows in the valleys.
Mm.
So those valleys are necessary for us to be fruitful and to bring forth fruit to the glory of God. Well, let's get back to the second portion of today's Grace Hour message. Again, it's entitled, Why God Gives His People Valleys to Go Through.
Let's say, for example, that I have 55 verses memorized, I've exegeted them in their proper context, and I give you hupomeno and all these other words for patience, long-suffering, and I'm a master at it. And I get up and fluently give you chapter and verse, all the Greek, all the Hebrew, and I sit down and say, now that's a thorough discussion on patience. Then I go out in the car and get angry because I'm penned in with the car in front and the car in back. Sit there. Somehow my meditation isn't nearly as sweet as it was when I was explaining my theological discourse. I enjoyed so much studying thoroughly that doctrine. I looked it up, exegeted the entire verses so that I would have absolute preparation and equipment and presentation. And when I get out in that car and it's late and I haven't had sleep and I'm tired and I'm hemmed in and I patiently for 5, 6, 7 minutes wait. I tune in to the Red Sox game in Hartford and it's not on. Better still, they lost. And I feel something strange happening inside. It's a tremendous spirit of impatience. There goes that doctrine. The first test I didn't recognize. And Satan's angel says to my angel, ha ha, I knew I'd get him out in the car. You see, the truth is, I was well prepared theologically, but I absolutely didn't have the experiential provision of my theological understanding. So between tremendous preparation and theological ability comes a tremendous need for valleys. If I start out right in the valley, I'll show you what will happen with the experience and the aftermath. That is why it is so interesting to go to church Sunday after Sunday in America and enjoy American Christianity, but live in a conducive Laodicean spirit, even though we are sincerely after God and have sincere knowledge, and we are formed and shaped into the comfortability of the American mentality of Christ, and then we read somebody goes through persecution and a trial, and we don't blink an eye. Because it's not us. So if we don't go through it, they must be sinning because they went through it. We have no more experiential understanding of what it takes from God's viewpoint to make us like Him. Now think of it with me very carefully. In order to grow to the next measure of faith, it takes more than a wonderful revelation of Scripture. That's important. Don't misunderstand me. That information is vital. And anyone that says it isn't is talking subjectively. But when I study, see, God told me years ago when I memorized practically all the epistles and the book of Hebrews, He showed me one night, 1 Thessalonians 3:3 and Philippians 1:29 and 1 Peter 1:11 and 1 Peter 4:12-16, and all these verses on affliction and suffering. And He said, I think you could stand it. I didn't think He meant it. But in order to put that understanding of the Word of God into experience and reflection of God's nature and to be conformed to His image, there has to be one valley, another valley, another valley, and another valley. And if I settle down in a local assembly, in a local area that I like, that's comfortable and scenic and pleasant, and don't have these valleys, I'll just be God's good little child that lives in a clean neighborhood without any opportunity to be changed into His image. Nobody decreases in their old nature and increases with God left by themselves in comfortability. Nobody. There has to be the shaking in the plan, the providential reversals and the crises that come into our lives in order to be real. Because there's so much immaturity and lack of experience in the reality of God's life that it takes unusual experiences from God's plan in order to become fulfilled with God's purpose in the trial. No one can grow in grace unless there's a reason. You try it sometime. Everything goes well, good house, good car, good Christian ministry, good preacher, good health. You're not going to grow in grace. You're going to grow in comfortability of prosperity, thanking God, of course. But you're also going to think, I must be one of His favored ones.
Well, that's the end of the second portion of today's Grace Hour message, friends. And again, this is such a great message for all of us to hear. Because it helps us to answer the question why God gives His people valleys to go through. I thought that one of the more profound statements, there's actually so many of them, but one of them in particular, between preparation and theological ability, there is a tremendous need for valleys. In other words, we cannot derive the nature of what it means to live this Christian life from a textbook.
Yeah.
It's going to take more than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor Love, you and I were just saying to each other off the air here that Pastor Stevens, he just said that he had memorized the epistles, the book of Hebrews, and how important that was in his ministry. And then he's saying not only to know it like that way, to memorize it, but also to find it absorbed in you, that the word actually is something that you actually start to believe it and obey it. I have believed, therefore have I spoken, is 1 Corinthians 4. Is it, or is it 2 Corinthians 4? 2 Corinthians 4. I have believed, therefore have I spoken. David wrote that in the Psalms. Now, you know, another element, and you were saying that you were living in the Boston area, and the word is getting down to the Boston area about this preacher up in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what we are hearing in his message today is that he actually is like studying and reading, and then he wants it to be applied. He wants to actually live in it, and I think that's a very, you know, that's a wonderful thing that happens in your life. I'm not talking about Dr. Stevens right now. I'm talking about you that's listening to me. This is really God's will for you and I, that this would be in our lives. Not only what we are meditating on, that we are memorizing, we are processing it in our hearts, but we are also going through the valleys. You know, it might be, I've got to do the dishes that are piled up in the sink. I've got to say to my wife in the morning, you know, I love you. I have to, you know, take time for my son, or, you know, I need to be friendly to my neighbor. I need to, like, somehow be applying what am I need to go to the church, and I want to love up people, and I want to live in the Spirit, and I want to rejoice, and I want to learn to worship, and I want to be fed, and I want to have a church life. The valleys in life are ordained of God so I can process in humility a relationship with God that really does mean something.
Mm. And as he mentioned in the message as well, what if it was just comfort all the time? What if it was just prosperity all the time? He said that is not suitable for maturity.
Mm.
And that could be, you know, we talk about giants in the Bible. Of course, go all the way back to 1 Samuel 17, you have David confronting Goliath, but then the giants take on different forms throughout the course of our lives. Could be fear, could be anxiety, could be pornography, it could be any number of giants. But one giant that we don't suspect as being that is comfort.
Oh.
But that can be one of the more dangerous ones.
Mm.
Because it may be that if we slip into a comfort zone, spiritually speaking, we can find ourselves missing out on the valleys that God wants to bring us through to create that maturity.
Yeah, do we somehow press ourselves into obedience? Because, let's say, evangelism, somebody might say, I'm not comfortable evangelizing. Well, wait a minute, back off from that for a minute and think about, you know, are you governing your life based on comfort, or are you living in faith?
Wow. Yeah, that's the question. Because, you know, it's when you, what do we call them, couch potatoes? You know, in the New Testament, you had the disciples in the boat. And one brother referred to those as boat potatoes. You know, Peter says, I'm going to step out of the boat. I want to step out of the boat. The rest of them are saying, it's dangerous out there. You know, you're risking your life. And Peter's thinking, well, you boat potatoes can stay here. I'm going to step out by faith and have a story to tell. I'm going to walk on water with Jesus.
You know, I have found people that are soul winners generally joyful people. I honestly have, and I mean, we do practice it in our church. Tomorrow is Friday. It's an outreach day here at the church and with our staff. And we go out and on Saturdays. And it is, but I tell you, there's something about it. There's some secret in it. There's something, you're going to have a conversation. Somebody's going to say, actually, it happened the other day. The brother told me he's from Madagascar. He may be listening now. Madagascar, he's a young guy. He's like 30 years old. He was here in America. He lives here. And he just started to search in his heart. And his grandmother had died, and she wanted, she left her, her last words were, I want you all to believe in Jesus Christ. I want you to believe in God, and I want you to believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, so he lost his grandmother. He's in a car. He's saying a prayer. He's saying, God, I don't know who you are. I don't know what, but send somebody to me. 15 minutes later, James Bryson comes up to him and says, God loves you. And that man is now in here in our church, and he told me that story.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, you go back to the Bible memorization of Pastor Stevens, just to saturate your soul in the Bible. I heard a funny story from a comedian who was sharing his struggles before he made it. And he was really experiencing financial hardship, so he would always call his grandmother, and he would say, Grandma, I'm in really bad shape. I need some help. I have to pay my rent. And she would always respond the same way. Have you read your Bible? And he would say, yeah, sure, I've read my Bible. And she said, okay. And then that was the end of it. And then he called another time, and he said, Grandma, things are getting worse. I'm not making any money. There's the thought, the idea, the fear that I may have to leave my apartment because I can't pay the rent. Same thing. She said, well, did you read your Bible? He says, no. Okay. You know, third time he calls her, he says, Grandma, this is it. I'm being evicted. Okay. I need you to help me. Please help me financially. And she said, have you read your Bible? He said, yeah, sure. And he hung the phone up. Then he got so desperate. He goes, I picked up my Bible. And when I opened my Bible, there were six checks that my grandmother had put in my Bible to pay my rent. You know, I love it. Read your Bible. You're going to be blessed. Money's not going to fall out of it, unless in some instances. Maybe it does, but read your Bible. That's where the real riches are in life.
Oh, that's a great story.
It is. It's kind of funny. Let's go back and finish up today's message, the third portion, right now. Again, it's entitled, Why God Gives His People Valleys to Go Through.
One of the great novice traces in the last days is people not wanting the trial of faith, not wanting the trial of the body, not wanting the valley affliction. Not wanting the humiliation of the valley, not wanting the experience of the valley, not wanting to develop the patience of the valley, not wanting the embarrassment of the valley, and not wanting the heartache of the valley, and not wanting to grow in faith and grace while in the valley. And this is one of the great novice traits of men and women today, and it's going to be one of the great manifestations of Peter, of John Mark, of these men. They just misunderstand the doctrine of God's valleys. Let's put it another way. Reuben and Gad come to Moses, and they said, we have seen some very beautiful land that is well flourishing with grass and fertile soil and possibilities for our cattle and our beasts and for our families. So if you have found favor in our sight, we will stay here while you go over the Jordan. And Moses said in Numbers 32, shall you sit here while your brethren go to war? There's two classes of people in America. Those that want to sit in the land of security and comfort while brethren risk their lives in the battle against Satan and demons and the world. Ecclesiastes 8:8, in its wide range application, says there is no discharge in that war. There's no discharge in this war until we're glorified. There is no discharge in the war. Absolutely none. And I want you to see that fighting the good fight of faith, enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, is absolutely necessary in order to glorify God in the appointed places of bitterness. In Psalm 84, this is what the Word of God says. Verse 4, first of all, there was a hunger in verse 2 for the courts of God and for the living God. Blessed are they in verse 4 that dwell in thy house, they will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are all are the ways of them. Of the ways of them in the courts, learning doctrine, seeking the living God, praising God together in his house. Blessed are the ways of them. Here's somebody whose strength is in God. We must not faint in the day of adversity. Our strength must not be small. Our strength is in the Lord. What a tremendous responsibility it is to allow God to take away our natural strength, our natural integrity, our natural morality, and to transform that through the grace and the word in the spirit into spiritual morality, into spiritual integrity, which is God's finished work viewpoint of his own character. Every man is a liar, but God wants us to have his strength. Then why the valleys? The next verse says, who, passing through the valley of bitterness, the valley of dryness, the valley of trials, who passing through. Notice, here's the valley of Becher, and they pass through. One, they don't turn back. Two, they don't quit. Three, they don't criticize. Four, they lay down their life, not for one or two people, but for the entire body, as Paul did in Colossians 1:24. He filled up the afflictions left behind in Jesus Christ as he suffered for the body's sake. How much suffering are you willing to do, praising God with doctrine and being filled with God's strength, strictly for the body's sake in the assembly that you're called in? Having tribulation worketh patience, patience experience. What many of God's people need is to have those novice traits removed into experiences with God's word in spirit. Experience works hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We must have tribulation. We've got to have divine patience. We must have experience. I need experience in every single doctrine in this book. I need experience with patience, experience with kindness, experience with gentleness, experience with meekness, experience with peace, experiences in edification, experiences in every type of laying down my life. I need one valley, another valley, another valley, so I can keep taking my words of understanding and put them into experience.
Well, there's the conclusion of today's Grace Hour message, friends. Again, it's entitled, Why God Gives His People Valleys to Go Through. And I think after listening to that message, we would all agree we need those valleys. They're essential. Necessary. God designs them, and he prepares us to go through them, and we find his grace in the midst of them. We come out with patience, with divine patience, with a deeper understanding of the truth that we perhaps have studied and learned about, but now we've experienced it in the midst of the valley. So what a great message today. Phone lines are now open, and if you would like to join us, now's the time to do it. Give us a call and weigh in, share your thoughts about what you just listened to, along with those of us here in the studio. 800-338-7060, that's the toll-free number in all of North America. Dial that number and join us live. And if you're listening locally in the Baltimore area, you could join us by dialing 410-483-3700. Another statement in that third portion that we listened to, I need valley after valley to put my understanding into experience. Otherwise, it's just theoretical. It's not practical.
Very good. Yeah. Another point was he said novice traits are changed into maturity. We think of novice, that young plant, that's the meaning of the neophyte, the young whippersnapper, you know, the young believer and novice who needs to learn to process. I remember one brother, he had told me that he had memorized 4,000 Bible verses, and yet he was so young and in a way immature. I mean, he was learning, and we were hoping for him to be, and I don't really know what happened to him, but I can imagine somebody being able to quote the verses, and I mean, thank you for that. That's like an awesome thing, to know the Bible verses, but then we know that the life is really also trouble, and we're born under trouble. So that maturity happens through life, and this message is good because we got to get a grip on what life is really about, and this is helping us.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we invite you to join us. As we mentioned a moment ago, phone lines are open. We are certain that many of you listening today have gone through your own valleys personally, perhaps a testimony that would encourage our listeners around the globe. You can share that testimony with us and with everyone listening today. A question about the message, about what you heard, give us a call. You might want to just make a comment, weigh in, and say amen to what you listened to. Again, take that opportunity, 800-338-7060. Again, nationally, and throughout Canada as well, and locally in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. And Lise is joining us from Montreal. And Lise, welcome. Hi, Lise, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Do you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Schaller. Good morning, Pastor Love.
Good morning.
Okay, yes. I've been enjoying this topic this week. And I just had a thought, and I don't know if you would agree. Do we think that the valleys before, if we take a lifeline of a person, and, you know, at one point in their life, they become saved. But would we allow that God would send valleys, like design valleys, as he said, a specific design valleys for people before they were saved?
Yeah, I would imagine, yes. I think life... before we are saved, there's the providence of God. He created us. He holds us together. He ordains things in life. Of course, before we are saved, we have what we call our pre-salvation period, where we're being prepared. Also, even angels are involved in our life before we are saved. For it says in Hebrews 1:14, are they not ministering spirits who minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation?
Mm. Yes. Yeah. I was thinking about the lady in Luke 7, like, you know, I'm sure she had, you know, she had valleys, you know, to be where she was. I mean, she was considered like a sinner, like, and by Simon the Pharisee, and it's like, you know, but she had a point, you know, but I'm sure, you know, God was thinking about her life and bringing, you know, her to a point where she would meet Jesus, you know, like, yeah, I was thinking about that because, I mean, it would be like a testimony. I mean, I was so living in such pride, you know, that, and hard-headed. I mean, sometimes just to bless us, God has to really break. I mean, I'm so grateful that he did that. Although I had like very, very hard time with two episodes in 3 months in hospitals twice, you know, and it was very, very hard. But, you know, like, what can you do when the person is, you know, so hard-headed? I'm saying it again.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But, that makes a lot of sense, because when you think of the valley lease, you think of, you know, being brought low. Sometimes we have to be brought very, very low before we recognize our need for Christ and for salvation.
Yeah.
A lot of people, as long as they stay on top of the mountain, they feel as though they have no need for God, no need for salvation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, it's part of the whole salvation, I think. Yeah. And also I would like to ask the body for prayers, the faithful body in Baltimore, for my next trip, which is coming very quick, because I always spend a few days in Montreal before I go down to Baltimore. So yeah, it's going to be a real step of faith since I'm not going younger. So, I need, support and prayers.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
We'll do that right now. Father, we pray for Lise and her upcoming trip to be here for the International Convention. First, visiting Montreal, and then again coming down here to Baltimore. Give her the strength and the divine provision to be able to join us for that special week of celebration and joining saints that gather from around the globe here at the International Convention. So, Lord, pour your strength into her heart, pour faith into her heart, and just provide your more than sufficient grace for all of those needs and more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you very, very much.
Looking forward to seeing you, Lise.
Yes.
God bless you.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Pastor Duke up in Pennsylvania. And he's joining us live on the Grace Hour with a comment about our theme of God, again, designing valleys in our lives. Pastor Duke, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Schaller.
Hey, Pastor.
You guys are awesome. I love you so much. Yeah, I wanted to share this, that in the valley, you know, the word that we use, synonymous, is suffering. And I was thinking about how God allows the thing that he hates in order to accomplish the things that he really loves. For example, he doesn't take pleasure in murder and evil and all the suffering that our precious Savior endured on the cross. But he loves the result of, and he knew from the foundation of the world that suffering was going to bring him glory, that we would be saved. And then another thing I thought about is that Pastor mentioned this in his message about the suffering deals a death blow to our natural ability, our natural tendencies. We don't realize as Christians how often we live just naturally, but God showed me this recently, that as a Christian, we can just wake up in the morning and go about our life, you know, get out of bed, get dressed, take a shower, eat breakfast, go out the door, get in the car, maybe have a short prayer to God, you know, Lord, thank you for this day. We really don't realize how proud we are because we need him for our very breath. And the Bible says Christ is our life. And like you said, Pastor Schaller, that the miracle that we're even alive, miracle. When we're being held, we're being sustained by the supernatural, omnipotent power of our God. And people who aren't saved, God is keeping them alive because he wants them to come to Christ. So what good is being alive, living 100 years and prospering, and then end up in hell for eternity? So he's, in his grace and mercy, he's keeping them alive for the opportunities to hear, and perhaps the valleys in their life will break them, will they finally say, Jesus, I need you. And then the last thing I wanted to say is, I was watching a video the last few weeks by Johnny Erickson Tata. She said something recently that just really hit me. She said that our suffering and our pain, they're little splashovers of hell in our lives. But then she said this. She thought, well, what's the splashover of heaven if that's the case? And the splashover of heaven is that in the splashover of hell, Jesus is with us. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm. Wow. Appreciate that, Pastor Duke.
Yeah, that's a good word. I like it, splashover. Yeah, Vance Havner said that somebody saved, this is the closest they'll get to hell, being on the earth. And somebody that's unsaved, this is the closest they'll get to heaven, being on the earth, right?
Mm,
makes
right.
sense,
yeah.
doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah, makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and I mean, that should draw me to sobriety, because I don't want to go to hell. I would like, you know, why? Well, if God loved me, why wouldn't I respond to that love? And if God loved us so much that he came here, why wouldn't I respond to him? If that blood atonement was critically important, and it was only Christ that did that, nobody else did that, only Christ did that. He was appointed by God to do that, to be our blood atonement, to be the one that washes our sin away by his blood and gives us this gift of righteousness, then respond to him and come to him as you are, and learn of him. And he is meek and lowly. He is so kind. He will not quench the smoking flax or what's the other part of it?
The bruised reed he will not break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? He's such a patient, compassionate God.
Will I see you in York tomorrow night, Pastor Duke?
Lord willing.
Okay. You take care. We love you and your family. Ryan and Seth and Sam, Debbie, Abigail. What a beautiful family. Amen. Thanks for your ministry, Pastor. We'll go to the next call. Pastor Love, you see it there?
Yeah, let's go to Rene, who's in Baltimore next. He's going to make a comment on our subject today. Rene, welcome.
Hi. Good morning. How are you today?
Great.
Thanks for taking my call. I love this topic because, 3 years ago I went through a major valley in my life. Not the only valley. There have been many valleys. There have been valleys since. But, I had a health crisis. I died a number of times. And what that did for me, what the valley did for me, was it helped me to refocus my life on what I'm, how I'm living for Christ. You know, it's, I used to be the guy that was so political and up on every, up on the news all the time and paying attention to what was going on. And after 4 months in the hospital, I realized all of that's going to go on with or without me. You know, what matters is, yes, I want to be informed to make a proper decision about voting and so on. But what's important is how I share Christ with those around me.
Yeah.
And my daily walk, my vertical with God and my horizontal with others. And, you know, it's thank God for the valleys.
Yeah. We need a godly scale of priorities, and sometimes the valleys help to put those priorities in perspective.
That's a good word. Amen. Yeah, that's a good word. It is.
Very good. Thanks.
I wonder how many that applies to, you know, all of us, but maybe we need a wake-up call.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, God is for us. He's in our corner. He wants relationship with us. So he's going to give us those wake-up calls. And I thank God for it.
Yeah. Well, it's like the psalmist said, 119, verse 75, you have in your faithfulness afflicted me. I mean, that sounds so strange to hear that. God, we know God is faithful, but is he faithful to afflict us? And the answer is yes, because of what it produces, the eternal weight of glory. Renee, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Just about out of time today, friends. We do have time enough to quickly tell you about the Maryland Bible College and Seminary Golf Tournament coming up on the 20th of June. That's the Monday of Convention Week. And it will actually bring us to the place where we have the first convention meeting live with Pastor Shallow. That'll be at the luncheon. And so if you're interested in golfing that day, well, go to our website, ggwo.org/events. That's where you can register. And if you'd just like to come for the luncheon and join all the believers that will be gathering up there for that, you can do so. That's just $25 a person. The cost for the golfing, $125 per person. Again, this benefits all of the international students that we're trying to get over here from various countries so that they can receive their Bible college education at Maryland Bible College and Seminary. It's all happening at Mountain Branch Country Club on the 20th of June. So go and register today. We want you there. It's going to be a great day.
I think this year I'm going to golf. Are
awesome.
You golfing?
I am, Pastor Shaw. I mean,
we should be on the same team.
Not if you want to win. Thanks for joining us, friends. We're going to be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. We hope that you'll join us then. Deborah, give us a call back. George, join us tomorrow as well.